It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Monica Lovell. Miss Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is our beautiful sister, Pastor Tammy Powerhouse Bailey. How are you doing this morning?
Already having church. We're already blessed.
I know, right? Yep. He's already moving.
I know.
Already.
I know. Yeah. Praise God.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Almost gave you the email, but we're getting a new email, so we're not going to be giving out the cable1.net email. Mm. So just bear with us as we get that done.
Yes.
We do record it in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out this morning?
Oh, yes, I'd love to. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful just, you know, to be here. God, to have the freedom to be in this place. God, we're so thankful to just know you, to have you as our Father. God, on this day, as we're celebrating Valentine's Day, we think about the love. And God, we've already just been overwhelmed in your love this morning. And God, we're so thankful that you are love, and God, that we get to dwell in love. And so, Father, I just pray right now that as we go into this time, Father, that you will bring those to the airwaves, God, that you will begin to pour out on them, that God, your love would begin to saturate them where they are. God, that it would be so palpable, Lord, they would be able to just rest in your love. And Father, I just ask that you let your love just, the words I heard, Monica, was, Lord, just let your love drip from our lips. God, that your love would drip from our fingers. It would drip from our lives. God, everywhere we go, it would just pour forth from us. And God, we just ask you to open every heart, every mind, every eye and ear to receive today what you want to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen and amen. It helps if I turn my mic on, sister.
Yeah, it does help.
That
it helps
a little.
I love it.
I really like your title this morning.
Yeah.
God's love never gives up.
Never, never, never. And I didn't have a title till I got here, and then we had church, and I was like, well, let's just call it that. So praise God. We were already in here, and Sister Neva and I were already Sister Monica and I were already worshiping God and the love of God. I was on my way crying. I cried all my makeup off and I got here, and she'd been crying on the way too. And so, you know, God is so faithful, and I'm telling you, his love never gives up. And what I heard him saying to me is, Tammy, if my love never gives up, why are you so quick to give up? If my love is in you, it doesn't give up. You see, love doesn't give up. It goes all the way. It doesn't mean that you don't at times feel like giving up, but you keep on keeping on because the love of God doesn't quit. Praise God. I'm sitting here. Monica's sitting here. Neva's here. You're here. Why? Because the love of God never gave up on us. The love of God never quit us. And so today I want to talk a little bit about love and just a little bit about Valentine's Day. And really, I just felt like the Lord gave me some fresh revelation. And I just want to impart that to you today and encourage you in the Lord and in his word. And so I just want to jump right in. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 2:14. One of our mighty man of God from the refuge, we had a Valentine's Day banquet last night. And his name is Joe, and as we were leaving, because I just preached a message on love at the Valentine's Day banquet, and we were about to leave, and I said, Brother Joe, you got any fresh word about love? Because I need a fresh word about love, you know. And when you preach something over and over again, you're like, Lord, bring me the fresh bread, you know. Because when you eat on the same thing, it's true and it's good, but it becomes stale in some sense. You need the fresh word. And so, and the Lord can take even the old bread and make it fresh. And he does that a lot. But so anyway, when I was visiting with Brother Joe, he said, Tammy, this is what he said to me. He said, Tammy, he said, I can tell you this. He said, a perfect God said to a perfect man in a perfect world, it is not good for you to be alone. So let me say it again. A perfect God said to a perfect man in a perfect world, it is not good for man to be alone. And so it was like, okay, I had to take some time and really think on that. But it means that God never intended for us to walk this life alone. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean everybody has to get married. We know Paul said he wasn't married, right? And so it was not about being married. God created us to be in relationship with him and with one another. And so we are supposed to be in a relationship with people. And so it was good for us to have relationships. And you can see why the enemy likes to keep people away from God, away from his people, away from even I just see the depression that's come on the land, you know. So many people are depressed. And what does depression do? It causes you to isolate. Okay? It causes you to draw in and isolate. You can see that's the work of the devil, because God said it wasn't good. If God said it wasn't good, Monica, it's not good. It's not good to be alone. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have times of being alone, you know, that Jesus even went alone with the Father, right? We need to live our lives in relationship with one another. And so when the Lord was showing me that, I just said, oh, God, what a good Father we have. You know, that song, He's a Good, Good Father, just kept rolling in my heart, and I just kept singing that. But, you know, one of the things that God even used Brother Joe again to speak to me that has just been in my heart is that he said, you know, that God in the Old Testament is still the same God in the New Testament. And so, and of course we know that, but it's like, okay, the Lord has been dealing with me about his love. And for a couple years, he's been saying to me, Tammy, tell the people about my love. Tell the people how good I am. He said, there's a misunderstanding about who I am, and I want my people to know who I am. I want the lost to know who I am, or the misplaced to know who I am. And so he's been teaching me about this and just saying, you know, Tammy, I want people to know my goodness and my love. And so anyway, so I was thinking about that and how in the Old Testament, you know, a lot of times they saw God as harsh. They saw him as hard, and if they displeased him, he would cast him out forever. And you know, it was just this thing of like always worried about making him angry, and it was a God of judgment. And so in the New Testament, we see the God of love. And so it was like, Lord, how do we bring these two together? You're the same God. But Brother Joe brought it to light, and it was like, oh, I get the revelation. The revelation was this, that the saints in the Old Testament were not in the spirit. They were in the flesh. So they could not see God for who he really was. Do you see this? Everything they were seeing him as came through the eyes of flesh. It did not come through the eyes of the spirit. So I want to read 1 Corinthians 2 because it explains us to us. 2:14 says this, but the natural man or the fleshly man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. What that's saying is that we can't understand God nor the things of God without the Spirit of God. You see, he begins to describe that you have to have the Spirit in order to understand the things of the Spirit. See, when we're born again, we're born of God. It says God is Spirit. So all who are born of him are born again as spiritual beings. And so when we're born again as Spirit, now his Holy Spirit comes and indwells our spirit, and we can can finally see God for who he really is. And so we can understand him. And so I just begin to get this understanding of like, okay, I see it now, that they were seeing God through the eyes of the flesh, but we now see him through the eyes of the Spirit, praise God. And so in the New Testament, we're beginning to see God unveiled for who he really is. It's not to say who he was in the Old Testament wasn't who he was, but they weren't understanding everything. They were just seeing it through the eyes of the flesh. And so, listen, the flesh is an enemy to God, and it sees God as its enemy. Do you see this in the Old Testament? So many of the people, even walking for God, saw him as an enemy. They didn't know how much that God is love. See, the Bible says God is love, and they didn't see him as that. They saw him sometimes as their own enemy. They were fearful. They didn't know what he would do, so they were terrified to walk the wrong way. You see, they didn't understand who God was. And so God is love, it said. And so as we see this, the flesh sometimes views God as an enemy. Do we not still do that today? You see, when I wasn't walking with God, you know what I thought God was? An enemy. And he was, because I was not surrendered to him. I had made him my enemy. He loved me even while I was his enemy. But I saw him as the enemy. You see, God loved us even when we were his enemies. And he was not my enemy. He loved me, but I was his enemy. Do you see? I saw him from eyes of the flesh. I couldn't understand a God of love. And so I was fearful of him. We do this even now. Unbelievers are fearful of God. They see him. They either are running from him, terrified, or they hate him. You see, he's an enemy. One or the two. That's all they know, because they don't have the revelation of the God of love. They don't know him as love. And so the Lord was just really bringing this revelation to me. And so he showed me that I viewed him as this way. And anybody in the flesh views him as that way as well. And so when we're born of the Spirit, oh, glory to God, you know what happened? I began to see the goodness of God. Oh, man, I began to see how sweet he is. You see, I began to see how sweet he is. And did you know one of his names is Wonderful? I used to say Wonderful Counselor, but when you look it up, it's Wonderful, comma, Counselor. You see, his name is Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. Wow, I love that that's the first name he puts out there. I mean, you know, when he gives that whole phrase in Isaiah, he says, the name is Wonderful. And so God began to reveal himself to me as Wonderful. He really is that good, good Father. And so John told us in 1 John, he told us that children need to get to know God as Father. You see, this was an astounding thing, a revelation, I believe, to the children of God. They didn't view him as a father. You see, they always viewed him as God. And though they sometimes would call him Father, they didn't have the revelation. See, we can know something, but not have the revelation of it. And if we don't have the revelation, we don't have the understanding. And see, this is a lot of times why Scripture gets misinterpreted and why it gets twisted, because we don't have the understanding. And so they didn't know him as Father. But God, oh, I love it. You remember, in fact, you know, in Romans 5:8, it says that, let's look at that real quick. Romans 5:8, I love this. Romans 5:8 says this, but God commends. Okay, well, I'm going to even back up, just because I love God and his word so much. In verse 5, it says, hope does not make us ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. For when we, listen to this, when we were yet without Christ, that means we were unbelievers. We did not have God. We did not have Christ. In due time, what happened? Christ died. Who did he die for? The righteous? No, he died for the ungodly. Okay, he was dying for those who were his enemies, okay, that hated him, that were running from him. He was dying for them in that state. Now look. For God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, do you know what that word commends means? It means, I love it, okay? It means, number one, it can mean to introduce. So he's saying, the Father introduced his love to us while we were his enemies. While we were opposed to him, hating him, running from him, he introduced his love to us by Christ dying for us. He sent his one and only son, but it even means this. I love it. It means to put something on exhibition. It's to exhibit it. You have an exhibition, right? He exhibited his love. He put his love on exhibition for us while we were his enemies. He sent his one and only son to die for us while we were his enemies. He exhibited his love and put it on display for us. He said, here's my love. I shouldn't love you, right? Because you're my enemies. But I love you. And I put it out there for you to see. Because listen to me. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. Do you understand this? It's the love of God that leads us to repentance. You see, but you wouldn't know that with some believers, because some believers are out thinking, if I tell you how awful you are and how everything you're doing is wrong, and you're going to go straight to the pit of hell because you deserve it. You see what? They think that's going to draw the person. But he said, do you know I didn't do that for you? He said, while you were yet my enemy, I exhibited my love for you. I put it on display. I said, I love you with an everlasting love. I'm coming to tell you how great my love for you is. And see, sometimes we are going about it the wrong way. He said, it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. You see, God drew us by his kindness. Glory to God. Oh, thank you for the love of God. Thank you for the sweet love of God. And so he begins to show them in the new covenant that he's a God of love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. He's love. Now, I want you to turn to that 1 John 4:8, and we're going to read 1 John 4:8 and go on into verse 9. Thank you, Lord, for your word. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loves not does not know God, because God is love. 4:9 says this, and in this was manifested the love of God toward us. It means it was revealed to us. Because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Okay? Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. When did he do that? When we were his enemies. When we were still living in sin. You see, he sent his love then. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, so many times when we're talking about loving others in that passage, we think we're to love the brethren like that. But he's talking about unbelievers. He said we ought to love those the way that God loved us. And how did he love us? While we were still his enemies. He was pouring out love even at that point. And so that's what we're to be doing, loving others as he loved us. Amen? That's his love. Look at verse 4:16, and we have known and believed we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Okay, what is God? He is love. So God is love. And as he is, so are we in the world. We are the love of God in the world. Do you understand that? You see, we are to be dwelling in love, being his love in the world. And I know some of you are already saying, but Tammy, you're going too far because you don't understand. You're saying this. And now what about people have to know about sin this is a dangerous place. And I get it. I get what you're saying. But listen, let's get into the word and let's look a little deeper. I'm not saying condone sin. I'm saying love people. Love them even in their sin. You see, Jesus didn't run around and say, go ahead and keep sinning. No, he loved them even while they were sinners. You see, all we're called to do is go out and preach the gospel, preach the good news. We're to go out and show them the way. You see, we're to be the examples. Jesus was the example and we follow his example. Now lead by example. Go out and love. He did not say, go out and tell them all that's wrong in their life. No, he said, go out and preach the good news. What's the good news? We deserve the judgment, but we got forgiveness. We got mercy. We got freedom. We got liberty. We got the love of God. We didn't deserve it, but glory to God, we've come out from underneath the judgment. We've come out from underneath the judgment. Listen to me. There is a time of judgment. He says it's on the last day. Okay, read the word, you'll see it. On the last day, he's going to pour out his judgment. On the last day, you see, he's going to pour it out. Now, I'm going to bring you into this, and I'm going to show you. It's so good. God is so good. Thank you for your word, God. We're to dwell in love. We are to be love in the world, okay? So, we're to love our enemies even as God loved us. Listen, it was years back. I was just a hard person, Monica. I loved God, but boy, I was a girl who would run around and make sure everybody knew what was wrong and they needed to get right, because if not, they were going to hell. Now, in some sense, it came from this love in me. I didn't want them to go there, okay? But at the same time, listen, I had not come into a place of love that there was to come into, okay? Ah, thank you, Jesus. Now, listen, and we're gonna talk about this. A couple years back, I was in this place where I was that person who just poured out all of that wrath and judgment of God. Okay. And he began to declare his goodness to me. He began to unveil his love to me. Okay. In a way I had never seen it before. And so when he began to do this, it changed my life. It changed my life. Listen, I was a person who was preaching all about the judgment of God that was going to come on America. I was a person preaching all about the judgment that was going to fall even on, you know, government officials, whatever. This is rampant in the body, okay? Now, I'm not saying that these things aren't true. So I don't want to bring any, I'm not trying to bring no condemnation, please. Condemnation's from the devil, okay? What I want to show you is what God did in me. And so I was seeing this, that this was being poured out everywhere I go. It's still being poured out. And I was one of these people. But I want you to know the love of God began to permeate every part of me. He began to permeate me in such a way. I cannot tell you. I can't even describe it. The love of God began to flow from my life in a way I had never experienced. Monica, I would try to go back and preach this message of judgment and wrath of God. And do you know what would happen? I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I'd pull back into it. And you know what would happen? The anointing would begin to wane. The anointing wasn't there in it. I can't describe it. It was like God was showing, going the wrong way, going the wrong way, Tammy. I'm not saying that we shouldn't tell people and warn them. Absolutely. But I was going the wrong way because God said, Tammy, you know what was happening, Monica? I was stepping outside of love. I was moving out of love. I want to dwell in love. I'm not going to move from love. And so the Lord just began to show this to me. And he was dealing with my heart. And he was showing me I was stepping out of love. And the anointing wasn't there. And so what I want to encourage you to do is begin to ask God for a revelation of his love. Begin to ask him to give you a revelation of his love. You see, we can't know something unless he reveals it. To reveal is to take the cover off. So there was a deep love of God, that he is love. And you are to dwell there. But unless it is revealed to you, you won't understand it. Okay? And we can go about and say things and do things that really are truth, but they're not in love. And so truth outside of love is abusive. Just like love without truth is abusive, but so is truth without love. Okay? So we have to walk in the love while doing while expressing the truth, okay? So the Lord is going to kind of reveal this to us as we go on. What time do we need to stop and pray, Monica? I just want to make sure that I'm making sure we...
About 5 more minutes. Yeah, we okay. Got about 5 more.
Okay. All right. So what I want to say is that God is teaching us about his love. He exhibited his love while we were enemies. We already saw that, right? He didn't pour out his wrath on us when we deserved it, but he gave us his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, right? So we're establishing this. And so he poured out. Listen, we sing about his mercy. We sing about his grace. We talk about it. We discuss it. We love it, right? And then we turn right around and tell everyone else they got to pay for their wrongs. We say, you better get right. We say you better stop that. That's wrong. You're going to hell if you don't quit that right now, you know? And so we want to make everybody else pay while we stand over here. And we're the ones, Monica, that were saved by grace. You see, we're the ones who and I'm not going so far to abuse grace. Okay, stay with me. I'm not trying to abuse grace. You see, Jude talks about abusing grace. He said there were people who turned the grace of God into a license to sin. They thought because there was grace, they could just live however they wanted. That's not what we're doing here. But do you know he's talking about? He's talking about believers. Believers had come into the family of God and then were trying to continue in sin. You see, he's not talking about unbelievers. See, unbelievers are going to come in through the love of God. I want you to understand this. They're going to come in just the same way we came in, through the love of God. You see, God brought us in. Yes, I was told the truth about sin, but at the same time, I was getting to know the love of God. It was the kindness of God that was drawing me to him. And so he wants us to understand this. Listen, turn to 1 Timothy 1:13. I want you to see this. 1 Timothy 1:13 says this. If I can get there. 1 Timothy 1:13 says, oh, thank you for your love, Father. In fact, I'll back up at verse 12. It's Paul. And he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for he has counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. And now he begins to describe himself. He said, when before I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, and I was injurious. He said, I was injuring people. I was killing Christians. I was making them pay. And he said, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Saints, when I was declaring that God was going to bring down the hammer on, you know, others, even, you know, even now it's like God's going to pour out his judgment on America. He's going to pour it out on the government officials. That's true when the day of wrath comes. Okay. But right now we're living in a time where we are living in God's mercy and grace. Now that doesn't mean we don't suffer for our wrongdoings or things like that. We do. Sin has consequences. But what I want you to understand is that God, right here, Paul tells us, he said, I was doing wrong and I shouldn't have gotten mercy, but God gave me mercy. Can I tell you this right now? I believe as believers, we're supposed to give Joe Biden mercy. I'm telling you, have government officials done wrong? Absolutely. But you know what? Listen to me. God is calling us to cry out for mercy. He loves every single person. It says it's not his will for any to perish. Do you understand that? I want you to understand, I am crying out for mercy for our government officials. I'm crying out for mercy for America. And we're going to look into this. We're going to go to prayer. But I want you to know, we're going to see it biblically. I'm going to show you biblically. And you are going to begin to see what God is calling his church to do in this hour. If God is going to come and wipe out these people, he's going to have to wipe everybody out. Monica? He's going to have to wipe everybody out. He's a God of mercy. And yes, he is a God of truth and a God of justice, but there will be a day for that. Right now, Jesus said, go and preach the good news, that if they will believe in him, they too can be saved from the wrath to come. From the wrath to come. Amen. So saints, let's be about the love of God and share the truth in this hour. And let's go to prayer. Amen.